7 minutes. We almost have a minute already. Okay, we're on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, the bottom line. So we had said that the Brisa, that we had quoted a Brisa which said that the amount that you have to carry for wine is 1/4 of a revius, which will translate into a revius when you mix the wine with 3 parts of water. Remember? Okay. Omar Rava. So Rava said, Af anon nami tanina. Our Mishnah itself can prove that that's true. I don't need a brisa for that. The Mishnah itself can prove that that's true. Why? Because it says in the Mishnah, Hamotzi yayin kidei mizigas kos. How much wine do you have to carry out? Enough to be able to dilute and make a normal kos. V'tani Allah, and we asked, kidei mizigas kos yafa. We explained that it means a nice kos, a kos for benching. V'tani seifa, and the brisa and the seifa of the Mishnah said, v'shar kol hamashkin b'revius. And everything else is with a revius. So as Rashi points out, it's not a bulletproof raya that has to mean an amount that when you dilute it will equal to a revius. It's not foolproof. But Rashi points out it does, if you add up all the pieces, it only leads to the fact that it has to be a revius. Because everything else is compared to a revius. Every other liquid is a revius. This is enough that it'll be a kos yafa. We know that a kos yafa is a revius. So put all these pieces together, you get to a revius. Our Mishnah alludes to it as well. V'rava l'taymei, and Rava goes l'shitaso according to his own reasoning. The Amar Rava, because Rava had said elsewhere, kol chamra, any wine, d'lo dari al chad t'las maya, lav chamruhu. Any wine that doesn't have a 3-to-1 ratio, 3 parts water, 1 part wine, is lav chamruhu. It's not considered wine. So you see again that Rava holds that the amount of wine being carried out is 1/4 of a revius, and when you add 3 parts of water, you're going to end up with a revius of wine. Amar Abaya argues. He says, "Shtei truvas b'davar." I have two issues. I have to take issue twice with you, Rava. Chada, first of all, d'tnan. We have a Mishnah in Masechtas Nida that the Mishnah over there is describing what colors of red will make a woman tmeya, make her into a nida. So it says over there, v'hamazug shnei chelke mayim v'achar yayin min yayim hashiruni. You take 2 parts water, 1 part wine from the wine of the vat, from the Sharon region, and you take 2 parts water, 1 part wine. That color, that's the same color as the dam that is tame for a nida. So you see from here that's a normal thing of wine, because they would never give you a shear for something that wasn't common, right? That's the common thing of drinking wine. It's 2 parts water, 1 part wine. Not you, Rabbi. You said 3 parts water and 1 part wine. See, it's not true. For also mayim bekad umitzdarfin. Does the Mishnah say anything about how much water is in the cup to be mitzdarif? Right, the kad is like a pitcher. Mayim bekad umitzdarfin. Does the Mishnah clue you in and tell you that he's carrying the water at the same time? No, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just says, mezigas kos. You're carrying enough wine to make it into a kos. Abaye agrees that you have to dilute the wine in order to drink it, otherwise it's not drinkable. He agrees with that. However, he's saying, I'm not pigeonholed to have to say he has to add up to a revius. There's no water here. Who said it has to be a revius? Maybe not. Right, but we said that Rava was of the opinion that it has to be 3-to-1. So who said it has to be 3-to-1? We see a mission that's 2-to-1. So the Gemara is going to answer similar to what you're saying. So Amalei Rava, so Rava answers back to Abaya. Ha deka marta shnei chelke mayim v'achar yayin min hayayin hashiruni. The fact that you bring up this whole thing from Masechtas Nida about wine from the Sharon region, and then that's only 2-to-1 ratio. No, yayin hashiruni l'chud. Leave me alone about yayin hashiruni. Why? Derafui. Because it's weaker wine. So since it's weaker, less water is needed. That's not a riot to me. Inami, or Hasa mishum chazusa. No, only over there. I only need the wine to look at it. I need to look at that color. That color is the same color as a dam that's tameya for a nida. Fine, I need to look at that wine. Avo latama, but to drink the wine, for it to be tasty, boy tvei, I need a bigger shear. V'dika ma'ata, and that your second problem with me was, mayim mikad umitzdarfin, that there's no water in the cup. So who's to say that it has to be dafka revius? So Rava says, no, l'inyan Shabbos midi d'chashiv. I need a shear that's chashiv, like we've been saying. All these shiurim are all based on chashivas. For ha nami ha chashiv, and this shear is chashiv. Less than that, less than a revius, not chashiv. Right? We had yesterday the whole issue. You can't drink less than a revius. So it has to be a shear chashiv, and therefore it has to be a revius. Tana, fine. So that ends that discussion. That ends that. That for wine has to be an amount that you would dilute to make it into a revius. Today there is no such thing as diluted, it's all diluted already. And this was only in the olden days. How much wine you'd have to carry out today? I don't know. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, in the Tosefta, Yavesh Bekezayis. If the wine congealed, and now it's a solid, how much solid wine do you have to carry out? So the Tosefta says, a Kezayis. Divrei Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says it's a kezayis. Why? Because a revius of wine congealed will equal a kezayis. Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Nosson, who we just had, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Dover Echad. They both said the same thing. Where? How do we see that? Rabbi Nosson, Hada Amarin, Rabbi Nosson, we just said, that a kezayis, a revius of wine, when it congeals, it equals a kezayis. That we just said that. Now what's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? What did he say? The Tadyo, because we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shisha Dvarim Mikule Beishamai Umichumer Beis Hillel. There are six things that where Beishamai is Mekil and Beis Hillel is Machmer. Rashi points out these are not the only six. There's a lot more than six. But these are the six that they learned when they came to the yeshiva that day in Karen Biavne. These are what they said over Mesechta Idiyos. So they're only quoting these six. Only quoting one out of the six. What's one out of the six? The dam nevela, you have the dam of an nevela. We know that an nevela is an animal that died without proper shechita. So that carries tumah. If you touch that nevela, you're going to become tameh. What about the dam of the nevela? Does that have the same din or not? So Beishamai Metarin. Beishamai says if you touch the dam, you're tahar. Beis Hillel Metaymin. Beis Hillel says no, you're tameh. So you see here, Beis Hillel is more machmer. The Amar Rabbi Yosi Reb Yehuda. Av kishatimu beis hillel, even though beis hillel says you're tameh, but he says you're only tameh, lo timu ela bedam sheyesh bo revius. You're only going to be tameh if you touch a revius of this dam. The pool of it, and it adds up to a revius, then you're going to be tameh. Hoil, since, v'yachol likrosh, because it's able to congeal, v'lamor al kezayis, and then it'll equal a kezayis. Rashi says that Beis Shammai will agree that maybe you're if you touch the dam you are tameh a lower level of tuma, you're not going to be tameh the same strict tuma as the carcass of an nevela will be a smaller tuma, but either way, so Beis Hillel says they came along and said interpreting Beis Hillel that the only amount of dam you could touch that's going to make you tameh is if it's a revius. Why? Because if it congeals, it's going to equal a kezayis. So you see, again, he holds the same thing, that a revius when it's congealed will equal kezayis, just to say they hold the same shita. So Amar Abaya says, no, dilma lohi, maybe it's not true. Adkan loka Amar Rab Nasan, maybe Rab Nasan said that a revius of yayin, when it hardens, it becomes a kezayis, hacha deboy revius el biyayin. That's only by wine, the kalish, because wine is thin. Aval bedam, but blood, which is thicker, the samich, it's very thick. Kezayis lo boy revius. A kezayis will not yield a revius. Even less than a kezayis will yield a revius. Sorry, even more, because it's so thick. You don't need such a big shear. So it's not necessarily true that they would agree by both cases, because maybe he's only saying his case by wine. Wine is very thin. For wine, I need a kezayis. I need a revius. So that when it hardens, it'll equal a kezayis. Blood's much thicker. Blood, maybe you need less. Inami, or you can say the other way. Ad ka'an loka amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Only Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said his shita. By blood, hazam the kizayit sagi lava revius. Because then a revius of blood will equal a kizayit of blood, when it's hard. Avo badam. Only by dam, because it is thick. Avol yayin dekalush, but yayin which is very thin, kizayis have a yosim mirvius. Right, since it's thin, it'll equal, even equal more. V'chimapik pachas mikizayis lichayif. And if you carry less than a kizayis, it should be chayif. So, since the different properties to blood and to wine, they would not necessarily agree with each other, but at least they hold from their own shitos. That by wine, he holds it has to be a revius which equals a kizayis. And by dam it has to be a revius which equals a kizayis.
Why should a man, once it goes from liquid to a solid, generally this year for a solid is kizayis?
Right.
So why not?
So, because by, so first of all, by liquids, it has nothing to do with the shear is oschashivas by Shabbos. So maybe it's different. Something I could think of. By the dam, by the nevel, the case is simple. Case makes sense. It has to be a shear that when it's hard, really will kazayas, which is the end of tumah. You're right. But by Shabbos, since the whole standard is chashivas, maybe it's different. Okay. Chalav kidei gemia. The amount of milk you have to drink is the amount of a swallow. Iboilahu. The question was, kidei gemia or kidei gemia? Is the word gemia spelled with an aleph or is it spelled with an ayin? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, I have a raya from a pasuk. Says in Parshas Chayesara, Hagmeini na ma'at mayim. Let me drink a little water. Right? By Rivka and Eliezer. And over there it's spelled with an aleph. Our Mishnah spells it with an aleph. The Gemara just wanted to know what's the proper way of spelling it. And of course, all of these now are going to be with aleph and ayin because it means the same thing. The word means the same. The only question is, since an aleph and an ayin really have the same sound, even though they really don't, right? We Ashkenazim generally don't know the difference. Sfaradim do, right? This issue goes back a very long time. Even in the Gemara, they had this issue. Really, an aleph and an ayin, they sound very similar, right? The Sfaradim have a way of pronouncing the ayin with a bigger emphasis than Ashkenazim. That's true, but even putting that aside, they still have the bottom line is they're still the same sounds. So the Gemara wanted to make sure they had the gears correct. That's all that's going on here. I mean, it could be there's a deeper understanding, but on the surface, that's all that's going on. They just want to make sure they have the right way of spelling the word. So they bring a raya from a pasuk that it should be spelled with an aleph. But the word swallow has an aleph in it. Even though it doesn't make it... One second. I just realized something. The pasuk has an aleph, and yet the Mishnah spells it with an ayin. Right? Hagmi'ini nam amikadeich is with an aleph. So how do we answer that question? What? No, it does mean the same thing. It does mean the same thing. I have to look that up. Okay. Oh, so on the side of the Mishnah, it says it should be changed to an aleph. On the side of the Mishnah, it says it should be changed to an aleph. The aleph changes it to an aleph. Right? With the first time it says gemia. Chalav kedei gemia. On the side it says gir says aruch, that it should be with an aleph. To conform to this pasuk. Ibayalahu, then they asked another question. Gar'inin, oh gar'inin. Is the word gar'inin, which means seeds, which we had before in the last mishnah of the last perek, that the seeds are not included in the amount of a fruit. We said a food has to carry out a size of a grogris, and we left out the seeds. Now the Gemara says it's a seed with an aleph or an ayin. So Amar Rava Bar Ula, it says in a pasuk, v'nigra mi'erkecha, that the word v'nigra with an ayin means it'll be deducted, right? It's a pasuk in B'chukosai or Bahar, that the amount that the Torah was talking about will be deducted, and you'll be left with the value. So since the word v'nigra means deducted, and the nigra is spelled with an ayin, the word gar'in is related to that word because we deduct the amount of the pit. Seed. We don't include that. So you see that it really should be spelled with an ayin. Fine. Ibayalahu. Now that we're talking about these, the Gemara asks one more that is not a few more. Omamis o omamus. The word means to dim, when the coals are dimming. So it should be spelled with an aleph or with an ayin. So Amar of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Arazim lo amamuhu began Elokim, that the cedars will not dim in the garden of Hashem. So you see that the word dim should be spelled with an ayin. Ibarluhu, one more. The Torah, the Mishnah is going to say later on that a mace is muksa. And a mace is muksa, you can't even, so if a person dies on Shabbos, you can't even close the eyes of the mace. Because the mace is muksa, so the eyes of the mace are muksa. So that word that's used to denote closing the eyes is called ma'amsin. So ibarluhu, ma'amsin tanan or ma'amsin? It should be with an aleph or with an ayin. Closing the eyes of the mace. So Amar b'chiyah bar Abba, Amar b'yochanan, it says in the pasuk, va'otzem einav, and he turned his eyes away, mir'oz bera, from looking at evil. So you see that the eyes, the word that's used for turning the eyes away, is spelled with an ayin. Fine. That Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, ha'motzi chalav shel behema, if somebody carries out the amount of chalav of an animal, kidei gemia, it has to be the amount of a swallow. Chalav shel isha, if you carry out the milk of a, breast milk of a woman, or the lubon shel beitza, or the white of an egg, kidei litein b'mishifa shel kilar, to put it in the paste that they would use to make some kind of eye treatment, some kind of for wounds for the eye, they would make that into a paste, kidei lashav b'mayim. The amount would be how much it would have to be to join in this paste with water to make some kind of paste to put on the eye to heal the eye. It's a different shear. So Boy Rav Ashi asks, Kidei Shifa, does it have to be the amount that you smear on the paste? Oh, Kidei Achiza V'Shifa. Or the amount that you would need to be able to hold it in your hand and then with your other finger, with your other hand, take some paste and put it on the wound. And that's a little bit of a bigger shear. And the Gemara says teku to that question. The next question: Dvash kidei litein al kassis. So Tana, we learned kidei litein al pi kassis. It's the amount of honey that you need to put on the mouth, the opening of a wound. Rashi had said yesterday, either it's the wound of the back of an animal that is very that has abrasions from carrying the loads, or it's the wound of a hand or a foot. Doesn't make a difference for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask, so kidei litein al pi kassis. So boy Rav Ashi asks a question. Al kassis, when it say that you put it on the wound, apuma dekula kassis, do you put it on the entire wound? O dilma, or maybe amursha kama dekassis, you put it only on the top of the abrasion itself. La afuke hudrana, to exclude, like, an abrasion generally looks a little bit, if you think about it, it looks a little bit like a hill. So you can put it only on top of the hill, lafuki hadrana, to exclude the sides, or the lower portion of the abrasion, the low, but you don't put any honey over there, and that's teku. So the question is, how much honey are you putting on this wound?
All these things seem to be that they can change depending on the size of whatever they use
it. Right, because all these, we said it yesterday, all these shiurim are not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. At Har Sinai, these shiurim were given to the chachamim to make a standard by themselves. Unlike, that's what we said yesterday, that food is one shiur, it's grogris.
They are and they are.
We said yesterday, they are and they aren't. That the chachamim were given the power to determine the shiurim for liquids. Unlike solid, which food, which we said yesterday, was a simple grogris. So they based all these, even a grogris is based on chashivas, but they based it on chashivas from what they understood. And the Gemara is going to have tomorrow that it also has to go by shchiyah. What is normal use? So honey is a normal use for eating and for using for wounds. The Gemara is going to say tomorrow, therefore they have to go l'chumra. Normally, all liquids is a kezayif, right? But if you've come up with something that you use for medicine also, and it's just as normal to use for medicine, then the Gemara, then they will machmir. So yeah, I mean, the difference between these two shear must be minuscule. How much you're putting on? You're putting on the top of the wound or the whole wound? Also, right, like you said, each wound would be a different shear. Right, it's a good question. But I guess they were determined, so that's why, maybe that's what Rashi's alluding to, that a kassis is like a standard size wound that an animal has from carrying a load. Okay, now we get into some Haggadah. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Kol Masha Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo. Whatever Hashem created in the world, Lo Bora Dover Acher, Lo Bora Dover Acher, Lo Bora Dover Acher Levatala. He created something else to counter, to nullify that, what the first thing that he created. So the Marsha says, we're not discussing now everything that Hashem created in the whole world. It's not the purpose of this Gemara, because there's no end to that. Because we're going to say, listen to the first one. Shavlul, Hashem created a slug, lekasis, for a wound. That's what this is doing here. That Hashem, that if somebody gets a kasis, the way to heal a kasis is by putting a slug there. That's a cure. So Hashem created things that are harmful, and then Hashem created the cure. Bara zvuv, Hashem created a fly, litzira, for a wasp sting. Rashi says, you crush up the fly, and you put that crushed up fly on the wound, on the sting, and it'll heal you. So we're not explaining, so why did Hashem create a wasp? That we're not asking. But Mashal says, Hashem created different things to give Yisurim to mankind. That, we don't even have to go into that. But Hashem also created the way out of it, that you should know that Hashem has many shiluchim to punish us, many shiluchim to heal us, and the more we understand that, the more we'll understand. Yitush, Hashem created a gnat, lenachash, for a snake bite. V'nachash, and Hashem created snakes, lechafifis, for shchin, Rashi says, some kind of boils. V'samamis, and a samamis is a spider, Rashi says, Arania blaz. Is that a spider? Rashi says, okay. La'akrav, that spider is a cure for scorpions. So the Gemara says, how does that work? What do you do with them? So the Gemara says, so this is really talking about a snake. How does a snake bite going to cure boils? So the Gemara says it's not really a snake bite. Ma'isi chada ukma v'chada chivra. You take one black one and one white snake. Fishalki, and you cook them together. Fishalki lahu, fishai filet, and then you smear it on the wound, on the boils. Fine. Tanur Rabbanon, again. Chamisha emas hein. There are five fears in the world. Emas chalash al gibor. Where the strong is afraid of the weak. So there are five fears where the strong has a chance to overpower, where the weak has a chance to overpower the strong. Again, it could be there are more, but the Gemara is trying to tell you that. Don't always think that, you know, you're so strong, because even the most powerful can be brought down by things that are tiny, and things that we would never be garbage, we would never consider them at all. What are they? Amos Mavgia al Ari. The Mavgia, Rashi says, it's a Chaya Kitana, and it has an extremely loud noise. It screams a lot. And when the lion hears that, he thinks the bigger animals are on their way. So he gets scared. So a small little animal can overpower a lion. Emas yatush al hapil. The small gnat can overpower an elephant. How can that happen? Because he goes into the elephant's nose. He goes into the trunk, and it can do damage in there. It's a tiny little nothing. The elephant doesn't even see it. And it can bring down an elephant. Emas samamis al akrav. The spider can bring the downfall for the scorpion, because it goes into its ear. Emas sinunis al hanesher. The sinunis, some kind of bird, the swallow. It can go, Rashi says, it goes underneath the wings of the eagle somehow. It's very small, and it prevents the eagle from flying. And emas kilbis al leviathan. The kilbis is also some kind of bug, and it goes inside the ear of the leviathan, which is a gigantic fish, and somehow it could bring down the leviathan. Fine. Amr of Yehuda Amarav, my Kra, what's the pasuk that supports this whole understanding? Hamavlig should al oz. The powerful can bring down, the weak can bring down the strong. Again, the Rashi explains the same idea that we should understand that Hashem has many different ways of getting to people, getting to mankind, and that even we shouldn't take anything for granted. We shouldn't overlook any small thing, because even the small things can bring down the mighty. Okay. Reb Zeira Ashkach le Reb Yehuda. Reb Zeira found Reb Yehuda. The Havika Piska de Bechamua, he was standing by the entrance of his father-in-law, the Chazia de Havi Bedicha Daite, and he saw that he was in a very good mood. The E boy mine kol chalala alma, and if you would ask him anything about the world, Havi Amale, he would answer him. Well, the Mepharshim explained, it's not Torah as opposed to nature, which is a different kind of Torah. See, it's not Torah, it's not Rashi, it's not Gemara. It's nature, which is a different form of Torah. It has a purpose. And he felt now would be a good time to ask him these questions. And on the surface, the questions are all about nature. They're all just ordinary questions. And of course, the Mashah has all these deeper understandings, but we'll try to say a few. So Amale, my taima izi mazgan bereisha. Why is it that the goats are always in the front of the herd? The hadar imre, and then the sheep are in the back of the herd. Why is that? Why do they walk like that? So Amale, so he answered him back, ki briyaso shel olam. It's just like briyas olam. Why? The bereisha chushka, because in the beginning of the world, first it was dark, vayyereb, then the hadar nuhara, and then vayhi book, and then there was light. So Rashi explains, goats are usually black, and sheep are usually white. You have differences, but the rove goats are black, and rove sheep are white, so it follows the pattern of the world. Just like the night came before the day, so too the black goats go in front of the white sheep. So the Kedushas Halevi says, that's not what he was asking. He was asking, why is it that the easy doesn't mean goats, it means the Az, it means the brazen people. Why is it that all the brazen people, all the Rishayim, they have it so good? Why are they in the front? Why are they leading the herd? So all the tzaddikim, all the white, the shy, the sheep, the quiet, they're all in the back. They're all downtrodden. So he answered, it's like the Briyas Ha'olam. This is what Hashem wants. In this world it's going to be that way. In this world, in the dark world, this is the way of the world. But when it's Vahada Nuhara, when Mashiach comes, then it's all going to be reversed. And then all the tzaddikim, and that's why it's a, he uses the word nuhara, the light. When the light of the world comes, when Mashiach comes, all the tzaddikim are going to come, they're all going to be in the front. That's how the Kedushas Halevi explains that. Others say that it's a reference to Yavon, the pasuk in Daniel, that Yavon's compared to a goat, that the Yavonim brought the darkness in the world, right, that the first two psukim in the Torah, the choshech al pnei sahom, right, all the four Goliaths are referenced in the first two psukim of the Torah. The V'choshech al pnei sahom is a reference to Yavon, and the Nuhara is the light of Hanukkah, that the culture of the world, the Greek culture, which was the culture of the world, right? Christianity arose from Hellenism. All the world was the darkness, and the Hanukkah, the Torah, right? Hanukkah is compared to Torah, the light, it's all Hanukkah Torah. The light is compared to Torah, and that the Torah is lit up, and that there'll be a countermeasure for all the darkness. On its surface, it seems a silly question, but they read a lot. They read much deeper into it. Next, my taima, hani mechasiyin v'hani megalyin. Why is it that sheep have their tail cover that the tail covers their rear, and by a goat it reveals their rear? Right, goats' tails stick up, and their behind is revealed, but sheep, the tail is down, and it covers their behind. Why is that? So he said, "Hani demechasinon minayhu." Since sheep give off wool, and wool is used to cover us, therefore mechasin. The sheep are also covered. But the goats, lo mechasinon minayhu. Nobody wears goat hairs. You can't wear that as clothing. You can make sack out of it. You can make saddles out of it. You can make things out of it. Not clothing. And we had before that only the shepherds would wear it as clothing for whatever reason. But most people, rove people, don't wear that, right? So megalion, therefore, it's open. One more. My time a gamla zutar ginuv say. Why is the tail of a camel very short? Mishum de achal kise, because it eats thorns. So it hangs out by the thorns. So if it would have a long tail, it would get caught up in the thorns. It would be very, very harmful for the camel. So Hashem made it that it should have short tail, so it shouldn't have a problem with thorns. So my time of tura aricha. Why does an ox have a long tail? So the Gemara says, mishum de dayer ba'agme, because it lives in the swamp, Uboy lecha kushe baki. And it needs a long tail to swat away all the flies. So that's why Hashem created it like that. So again, this is a reference to what he's really asking is, why is it that when the goyim suffer, suffering is very short. Suffering is very short. Right? In one night, the entire empire of Bavel was destroyed. In one night it happened. And the Jews are suffering for so many years. Why is that? So he says, it's alluded to in the pasuk. Somehow Gomel's a reference to Bavel. I'm not exactly sure how. Somehow Bavel's reference to... So why is it that they have short tails? Why is it that their end is always short? And by the Jews, the suffering is so long. Because, right? Because the Bnei Yisrael is compared to an ox. They have by Yosef, Bechor Shor. So he said again that's exactly the reason. Because Hashem's not interested in the Goyim. So when it's their time to come, that's it, it's over. But the Bnei Yisrael, Hashem does it slowly so that they should always have a continuation, and they should always have a kiyum, and they should learn from the mistakes, that Hashem draws out the pain in a slower, slower way. Okay, next. My timer, why is it, karna dekamsa rikika, that the antenna of a grasshopper is soft? Why is it soft? So he said, mishum dedarya bechilpi, because they live in among the reeds, they live in the reeds, the ikashya, and if it would be hard, gadya, it would bang into the reed, umis avra, and it would become blind. Why? The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, haima deboi delichse lakanta. If anybody wants to make a blind a grasshopper, you want to know how you blind the grasshopper. I don't know if anybody would want to know that, but if anybody wants to know what the best way to blind the grasshopper is, what should you do? Leshlefinhu lekarne, hit it in the antenna. Because the grasshopper has the vision comes through the antenna, so if you get rid of the antenna, they'll get rid of the eyesight. My timer, why is it? Hi timra detarna gulta medali le'ela. Why is it that the eyelids of a rooster, I don't know if this is true, the eyelids of a rooster close from bottom to top? That the lower eyelid rises above the upper eyelid, which is unusual. Why is that? So he answered, the dairi adapi, because they stay by the boards, by the beams of the houses, the ail kitra, and if the smoke would go, and there was a chimney there, and if the smoke would go into their eyes, mis avra, they'd become blind. So therefore the lower eyelid is above the upper, so there's no crevice that the smoke can get in. Hashem created, it is very cool. Hashem created the world that way. Hashem created the Tarnagolem that way. A lot of these are referenced to the Beis HaMikdash and the Bnei Yisrael and Golos and suffering. So we try to explain a few. Okay, now the Gemara is going to discuss a few words that, what is the root of the word. Even though all these words are Aramaic, and the root we're going to all give in Hebrew. So some say that Aramaic and Hebrew are so connected that the roots are all the same. Others say that really everything originally stemmed from Hebrew. Right? And once upon a time there's only one language. That one language is Hebrew. Then it became, right, by the Dara Flaga, all the languages spread, but they all originated from Hebrew, which is why many times the Gemara will say something like, well, in this language, the word hin means one, or totafos means two. What do you mean in this language? Right? In African language, because it all originally stems from Hebrew. So all these were once upon a time, I think the Maariv Chai says that, all once upon a time, everything was Hebrew. And then these words were adapted to other languages, and they were forgotten to be part of Hebrew. So the Gemara is just reminding you, those are originally Hebrew words. And the other languages, Greek and African, they took those words and made them into meaning, but really in the Torah we can use them as well. So it's a similar idea here. We're going to have these words that are Aramaic words, but well, the root, the makar of these words, the shoresh, is really Hebrew. So the first one is dasha. Dasha means a door. So why is dasha called a door? So the Gemara says, because it's a combination of derech sham. There's the way. You want to go through the door, then you'll get to where you have to go. Derech Sham. Darga is a ladder, right? Derech God, that's the way to the roof. In the olden days, everyone used to use the roofs for purposes. They'd store things there. That's the way up to the roof. Darga. Maskulisa. Maskulisa is a kind of a dip. So that means, Masai Tichle Da. When is this going to be finished? Because since it's a dip, you don't eat dip. You only use dip to dip. So it doesn't get finished as fast as the other food on the table. So it's always there. It never runs out. That means when is this going to be finished already? So that became the word for dip. Beitha, a house. So, I mean, in Hebrew, a bias is a house. So in Aramaic, it's the same thing. Beitha, a house. So it means, Bav Osiv Ba. Come and sit here. Come to the house and sit. That's the root of Beitha. Biksa. Biksa means a narrow house. So what is that? Be'aksa. A narrow place. This place is narrow. The word iksa means narrow. Kufsa. A kufsa is a mortar. Right? So that means, this is not a hand mortar like what you see by the pharmacies. This is a huge mortar, Rashi explains, they would use for bigger items. It's kuf visiv. Turn it over and use it for a chair. Meaning, come on over and sit down with me. Turn it over and you can use it for a chair because it's so big. Livni. Livni means a brick. Why is livni called a brick? So the Gemara says, lebeni beni. Because it lasts from one generation to the next. You can hand down the bricks. They don't go anywhere. Right? They go there from father to son, from son to son. Hutza. Hutza is a temporary, like a temporary fence. So it means chatzitza. Like a chatzitza, like a partition, like a machitza, which is only temporary. Chatzva, chatzva means a barrel. It's shechatzv mayim min hanahar, like when you mine the water out of the river. When you take it out, you fill it up in the barrel. Kuza, what's a kuza? Kuza is a little cup. So it's kuzeh, like this little cup. Shutisa, what's a shutisa? Shutisa, Rashi says, is a hadas, right? And what is it? What does the word shutisa mean? A hadas? Because it's shtusa, because it's foolish. So Rashi explains that they used to dance with a hadas at the weddings, and they'd look ridiculous dancing that way. They'd look very foolish. There's a story in the Gemara that there was somebody who was dancing at a wedding. One of the Amoraim, it's in Ksuvis, he was dancing with a hadas, and somebody said he's embarrassing all the rabbanim because he's letting himself go, right? He's acting so wild. He's not dancing with respect. Right, and he was dancing with a hadas, and they told him over there he's dancing like a shota, and then he passed away, and a pillar of fire appeared, and the pillar of fire was in the shape of a hadas, and then everybody knew that he acted properly because for the kala, for the chasan, there's a mitzvah, you're allowed, I don't know about the man hazeh, but in those days he lets himself go, and that's why the hadas means the same word as foolish. Mashikla. Mashikla is a big trough where everybody washes. It means mashe kula. Everybody can wash there. But mashkilsa, which is a smaller kind of washing place, is mashe kalasa. It's a washing place for the kala, meaning it's reserved for special occasions. Asisa. Asisa is a hand mortar. This is a hand mortar. Chasirsa, because it means the hollow is hollowed out. You just have the stick to crush, but it's hollowed out. That's why it's asisa means it's missing. Buchna. Buchna is a pestle. Is bav achna. Come and I'll hit it. Right, also, that's the other part of the pharmacy symbol. Lavusha. Why are clothing called lavusha? It's laobusha. Because when you're wearing clothes, you're not embarrassed. You're dressed. Glima. A glima is a cloak where you can't, where all your body is covered over. It's not like a coat. We have sleeves. It's just one big. It's like a shawl, right? What is it? Shanasa boka golem, because you look like a golem when you wear that, because you can't see any of your body parts. You can't see your arms. And gulsa, a gulsa is a kind of a cape. What is that? Gali va'asiv, because it's revealed when you sit down. Why? Because when you sit down, since it was a very expensive thing, they didn't want it to get creased, so they would lift it up. They would lift it up before they sat down. So when they lifted it up, then the guy's legs were showing. Not he was still wearing something underneath, but I'm saying that it was they would lift it up, so it got the word to save it, and then that's why it's called glisa. Because gali v'asif, they would uncover and then sit down. And a few more. Puria is a bed. Why is it called a puria? Shapar of Rav and Alev, because that's where people have puravu there. Bar zinka, an empty bar. Why is it called an empty bar? Bar zeh, this pit is naki, is empty. Sudra, a head wrap, is Sod Hashem Lureyav. Right, Hashem's secrets are there. Because the sudra covers the mind, and the mind is an endless place. It's endless, all the secrets you can get from over there. And it's saying that if you cover your mind, it shows that you're concentrating, and that secrets that should normally not be revealed to you are revealed to you. Apadna is a palace. or why is it called a palace? A pischa dein. It's the entrance to judgment. Because everything happens in the palace. Everyone's judged, everything goes on there. That's why it's called a padna. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned elsewhere, shlosha, three things, kol zman shemazkinan, as long as they get older, mosifin gvura, they get stronger. The Elohim, these are the three things. A dog, a fish, a nachash, a snake, the chazir, and a pig. I didn't have a chance to look up. This Gemara appears in Avodah Zarah. And over there, the Gemara says that the venom of a snake doesn't get stronger. The venom gets weaker as it gets older. But the snake itself continues to get stronger. And over there, it said, look at the Ben Yehoyada. I didn't have a chance to look up at the Ben Yehoyada. What is behind this? What is behind this? Okay, we can probably get to the two dots. It's very, very easy, Gemara. Okay, Shemen, Kedelosach Aver Cotton. The amount of oil you have to carry is the amount that you use to anoint a small Aver Cotton. What does that mean? Amri Devei Rabbi Yanai, Shemen Kedelosach Aver Cotton, Shel Cotton Ben Yomo. The amount that you could take to anoint a small Aver of a 1 day old baby. That whatever amount of oil that is, that's how much oil you're not allowed to carry. That already has Cheshivas. Meisvei, but we have a different brayta that says shemen kedelosach aver katan, the amount that you could to anoint a small aver vikatan ben yomo and a katan ben yomo. My love aver katan the gadol. So doesn't the first one mean aver katan of a gadol? The aver gadol shall katan ben yomo, and the aver of a larger aver of a katan ben yomo. So I'm reluctant to be Rabbi Yanai. Lo, that's not what it means. This is what that price means. Shemen kedelosach aver katan shal katan ben yomo. He's just explaining himself. That price is explaining himself. What's an aver katan? Of a katan ben yomo. So the Gemara says leimik etanoi. Maybe it's a machlokas tanoim. Shemen kedelosach aver katan vikatan ben yomo. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That's his shita. Rav Nosson Omer. Rav Nosson says no kedelosach aver katan. The amount to anoint an aver katan. My la b'hakamim. So what's the machlokas? The Rav Shimon ben Elazar Savar, Aver Katan, Shel Katan. The Aver Katan of a Katan. Rav Nosson Savar, Aver Katan, De Gadol, either the small Aver of a Gadol, or Aver Gadol, De Katan. Or the Aver Gadol of a Katan. Aval Aver Katan, Shel Katan, Ben Yomo, Lo. Nobody holds of a 1 day old baby. So the Gemara says, Lo, don't have to say that. The Kuli Alma, Aver Katan, De Katan, Ben Yomo, Lo. Nobody holds of a 1 day old baby. No one holds that shear. Falesa, De Rabbi Yanai. And no one holds like Rabbi Yanai. We said that. This could be the machlokas. Shimon ben Elazar Savar, Aver Katan de Gadol, the Aver Katan of a Gadol, the Aver Gadol de Katan, Ben Yomo Kiyadadin, it's the same shear. From Nasan Savar, Aver Katan de Gadol in, right? The small Aver of an adult, yes, but Aver Gadol de Katan Ben Yomo, low. But not the small of a baby. So, my Havi Allah, what's the bottom line? Tashma, we have a brayta that says the Tanya of Shimon ben Elazar Omer Shemen. How much oil? Kedelosach aver katan shel katan ben yomo. We go back to Rabbi Yanai. No, it is the amount of a katan ben yomo, and that's how the Rambam paskins. Rambam says it's the middle finger of a katan of a 1 day old baby. That's the aver katan we're talking about. Others say it's the thigh of a katan ben yomo. And tomorrow we have more into this, more shiur about things that we carry out on Shabbos. Today's shiur was Lord the Ilanishmas, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen.